Hello and a big welcome back to Expected Goals. We are joined with another special guest this week ahead of Albion's FA Cup tie at the weekend. We are joined by Martin of Newport Analytics. How are you today, Martin?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. Yeah, feeling good. We've had a bit of a break with our football, so I'm looking forward to Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be a really exciting game. Obviously, we are probably the more nervous going into the game, being several leagues above, and always the potential for a FA Cup upset. We don't really want to suffer that. I'm not sure how many changes there'll be with our squad. It's likely that they'll use some players who haven't had the game time that they would have wanted to. So there's always the potential for a banana skin in this competition. I wanted to start by asking you about some recent departures from Newport. It's a bit of an awkward position that you're now in, well positioned in the league, that is, second in the league with a game in hand. But two departures, Scott Twine and Brandon Cooper, are going to be going back to their respective loan clubs. Scott Twine's probably been arguably your best player this season, 6 goals and 7 assists, very influential, but will now be heading back to Swindon.
Yeah.
Do you think their departures are going to affect your team? Have you got the numbers to cope? Who do you expect to step in? And is this something that you're going to need to address in the January transfer window?
It's a huge blow for the club. They've been two of our key players this season. Obviously, one's an attacker, one's a defender. So huge for us in terms of goals and keeping them out. It was a bit of a surprise actually losing Brandon Cooper because I didn't think he was going to go. But I know Swansea have got quite a lot of problems defensively. Not sure if Swindon even need Scott Twine in terms of midfielders, but there we go. Yeah, he's put on a hell of a show this season. And I don't know if you've seen any of his goals, but he's been scoring screamers for fun.
Yes, I actually have seen a few of his goals as it happens. Liam won't thank me for mentioning it, but particularly his goal of the month in October at Cambridge United, absolute screamer in off the crossbar. So yeah, he looks like he's definitely got a shot on him.
Yeah, he's one of these players who's got like a knuckleball technique, you know, so you never know where it's going to go. And if the keeper can't save it, he parries it, he puts it into a dangerous area. But I guess the whole point is we've lost him now. So, we're going to have to try and fill that void. We've got a couple of players that could probably step in for Twine. We've got a youngster, Lewis Collins. You probably haven't heard of his brother. I don't. Maybe Aaron Collins plays for Forest Green. Used to play for Wolves, or Wolves bought him off us originally. So he could probably step in into a attacking midfielder role. Or we've got Jamie Devitt on loan as well. So he's another loan player. We've got a few players, maybe strikers who could kind of drop into that hole, but I think they're probably your main two players who could step into that role. Brandon Cooper, probably depends on formation, actually. I think you could probably stick. We've got a lad called David Long King who's come up from the National League last year. He hasn't, he's come on as a sub, but he hasn't started a game this year, so he could maybe debut in the Cup. But we've had a few injuries with centre-backs. We've got another one called Kyle Hawkins, used to play for West Brom. Really big lad, I think he's like 6'5" or something silly like that. So he could probably come in, depends on his fitness. But two massive blows for us as a football club, because we've changed the entire way we play, and they've been very pivotal to it.
Yeah, this is something that, no team wants to go through, losing important players, particularly in January. In the summer, obviously, you can try and plan around it and try and bring in replacements or reflect on your own resources in your youth team and see what you can come up with. But you're being left with a very short period of time to amend things. On a more positive note, doing very well in the league, as I mentioned previously, playing some really nice football by all accounts as well. The second most average possession in League Two, just behind Forest Green, as you mentioned earlier. And I think the second most shots per game on average too, just behind Carlisle, who I think are just one place above you in the table. On a more probably Brighton related note, you've also scored the most penalty goals out of any team in League Two this season with 7. Brighton have a real problem conceding penalties, and results suffer significantly when we do concede those penalties.
Yeah.
Broad note, how do you expect the game to go in terms of how will Newport play their regular game in sort of basic terms? Are you going to go for it, or do you expect a more game management, a bit more pragmatic approach?
I haven't had too much of a look at Brighton yet. I started last night, actually. But I think usually cup games, we generally go for it. We kind of put a lot of pressure on in the first half. Depends on obviously how it goes. It could be totally a different game, and we may end up sort of trying to shut up shop. But we do tend to go for it in the first half in all competitions, you know, whether it be league or FA Cup. And usually we surprise quite a lot of teams with how we start, because we're very fast paced. But the game's changed a bit for us. We used to be fast paced and very direct, whereas now we kind of slow it down a bit. But we do try and get the ball into the kind of the attacking third as quickly generally as possible. But instead of long ball, it's just working it through the thirds at the moment. But I don't know. It's a tough one, isn't it? FA Cups, they can go anyway. But I think you should expect it to come out quite aggressive, I think.
Yeah, it's a worry. In truth, Newport have got such a fantastic record with FA Cup shocks. Leeds, I think, a few years back, taking Tottenham to a replay and then beating Leicester last year or the year before that, I believe. In any case, lots and lots of scalps claimed, which is a worry for us. We don't really want to be another one of those. We've not really had, there's not too much positivity around Brighton at the moment. I think some of it a little bit unfair in terms of the performances we are putting in, chances created, and the general numbers are positive, but the results haven't quite been matching those expectations. So I think, you know, without kind of counting our chickens too much, but an emphatic win or a confidence-building win is something we really do need. So we definitely don't want an awkward situation. And Newport will certainly try and make it difficult for us. Recent league form isn't the best either. 2 draws and 2 losses in the last 4 games. How beneficial do you think a big cup tie like this, bear in mind your recent fantastic record claiming scalps, will be in terms of maybe turning that around and giving the players a little bit of a breather from league football?
We've had a bit of a breather as it is, because we've had the last 2 games called off. One of them was postponed for waterlogged pitch, and then the next one was postponed for a frozen pitch. So we've had a bit of a break, I think 2 weeks or so by now. So I think we'll be kind of refreshed, ready to go with, I'm going to assume, like the strongest squad we can put out. I don't think, you know, we're going to change any fringe players, goalkeeper, or anything like that. So I think we're just going to go for it. Sorry, I lost my train of thought there.
That's quite all right. I don't think we could do a Brighton Hove Albion and Newport County podcast without mentioning, of course, Ben White. Mike Flynn was very, very complimentary about his loan spell in 2018. I think Potter's been probably equal measure credited and criticised with the amount of positions he's played Ben White in, but this is no new thing for him. I believe he's played centre-back, right-back and left-back for Newport, moved around during games several times, and over the season he's filled in lots of different positions. Liam, yeah. Bring you in here. What have your thoughts been on Ben White so far this season? How much do you think he would have developed from his time several years ago at County? And is he ready to play top-level football as Michael Flynn tried to swing him over to Liverpool in the summer? He tried to urge him to join the Reds, much to our displeasure. But how do you think he's done this season? Do you expect him to play on Sunday? And how much has he come on?
I think it'd be a bit unjust to not play him. Obviously, providing, I think the biggest challenge that Potter and the team will have, as we've seen, is sort of trying to manage minutes and player load. Because obviously, I know City seems like quite an unwinnable task, but there's some big games coming up soon. So I think, you know, it's second on Potter's list in terms of, one, avoiding an upset. Two will be, can we avoid any sort of big players being injured? Obviously, I know that Martin was speaking earlier on about losing big players. Admittedly, for us, it's not been through a transfer, but obviously we've had Tarik Lamptey be out recently, and that's really sort of tweaked how we've had to play a bit. So, you know, and Ben White has been pretty integral. I was actually watching some of his assists earlier on today from his time at Newport, because I was looking on Y Scout initially, and it said he had 7 assists, and that seemed, you know, quite unfeasible from my perspective for a centre-back at any level. And I watched some of them. They were really, really good. Sort of a final ball we had, I think on 3 occasions, he put in a really good cross, showed an ability to step out with the ball at the back, very much like Adam Webster, to sort of carry it, and then some real good sort of line-breaking passes. And Charlie and I have spoken on the pod before about how at Newcastle, earlier on the season, he played some really good forward passes. You know, as a real knack of sort of blending, a good ability to play the ball through carries and through forward balls, you know, as well as show a good sort of defensive side as well. Admittedly, he's a lot more on the ground, maybe because of his size, that he's not quite the aerial jeweler that someone like Dunk is. But, you know, he's really quality at sort of picking the ball up, and could quite well perhaps be integral for us when we've seen sort of, you know, often teams will sit back, not that I expect Newport to do so to the extent that sort of other sides have, but if teams are going to sit back against us, then, you know, I think it's important that maybe when they are attacking us, that we can have players to pick up the ball and try and hit teams when they are sort of unorganised. And obviously, as Martin said about the fast start that Newport have had this season, that it will be a big test for us to see sort of how we start the game. We've had some poor starts in games at times. When you look at Spurs, you look at Palace, you know, conceding early on, and as Charlie mentioned, through penalties, that, you know, if you're going to lose a sort of an FA Cup game, particularly one where you are going in with a lot of expectation, which, you know, I think is perhaps maybe a bit overrated for us to have all the expectation. This is a Newport side who have been, you know, nothing but quality this season. It's second in the league with the game in hand. You know, if they win the game, I'm not sure if they draw it, they'll go top, but definitely if they win it, they'll go top. So arguably one of the best sides in League 2 this season. And a side who, as Charlie's mentioned, have really beaten some quality sides in the cup previously. And my sort of biggest question, I don't know if it'll answer itself for you really, Martin, in terms of being at Rodney Parade, is, has there been much of an effect in terms of the lack of fans in terms of how Newport have played? You mentioned sort of a tweak in style. Has that sort of been a cause of that? Has that maybe just happened at a similar time? But one point of that I did notice that maybe sort of limits my own question on that is that you've won 7 of 9 games, I think, at home this season in the league, which is home form that I was looking at rather enviously, as we obviously won once in 2020. So just intrigued to see, is there any sort of stark difference sort of you now with the lack of fans?
It doesn't seem like it is. Usually, I mean, these sort of FA Cup games would be sort of galvanised by fans, because I think you can't probably get more than 7,000 or 8,000 football fans in there, I believe. So, yeah, in previous years against certain clubs, you know, Leeds, Leicester, Spurs, Man City, there's been big crowds there, and it's sort of like, it's galvanised everything. I think we took Man City pretty well. We went 45 minutes 0-0 with Man City. So yeah, I think for a game like an FA Cup where you've got like a big team come in. I mean, Brighton are, believe it or not, big team. So it would be a massive difference to have fans there. It's hard one to tell. I don't really think it's impacted our season much. I think the way we've actually played football has been our biggest strength, rather than having sort of like a good atmosphere as such. But one of the biggest problems that we might find now is there's a rugby match on Saturday night. I think a local derby, apparently. I'm not one for rugby. But there's no doubt that the pitch could be an absolute mess for the game. So that probably won't suit either team.
No. On that then, is a sort of a quick addition. I looked at some of the numbers last season and was particularly impressed at sort of the set piece set that you guys offered. I think also early on this season as well that Kevin Ellison scored from a set piece late on to sort of win you guys a game. And obviously that's something that we're looking on at, you know, with sort of an element of fear, really, is we've been quite poor at times. There's still a lot of questions to be asked about, you know, are Brighton players just making bad decisions when defenders at pieces? Is there sort of bigger issues in terms of how we're setting up? But do you think that maybe as much as, you know, that commentators will cliche it, that, you know, cup games may be riding a set piece, that if the pitch is quite terrible, that that could become, you know, even more enhanced?
It could be, yeah. In previous seasons, we've been very set piece orientated. We've struggled, definitely last season, we struggled to create goals from open play. So set piece was the only real threat we had. This season, we're a bit of everything. But we don't particularly have what I'd call a big team. So unless we bring in either what I said was David Long King, which I don't think he's that tall, but he's a beast of a man. But Cal Hawkins, like he's 6'5". We don't actually have anyone who's probably over 6'2", maybe, across the field, apart from the goalkeeper. If we're going to pose any threat from set piece, it's probably going to be something on the floor.
Okay, that's interesting. Thank you for that.
Yeah, hopefully set pieces don't prove to be our undoing once again this season. I suspect, depending on how the game goes, if we are able to get the ball down and have the bulk of possession, I'm assuming Newport will want that to happen as well for others, and they want to have the ball themselves. So there will be certainly a battle to have control of the game. But if Newport can't keep the ball, then they will look to make the most of those set pieces. And I worry, depending on what defensive setup that we go for, it's probably likely to be a fallback. I'm not sure. I think probably Dunk will be rested for this game. Basuma, I think, will play because he's suspended for the City game, so it makes sense to have him, and his energy in the middle of the park will be very important. Martin, do you think that this is a game that, I want to phrase this correctly. Because you haven't played football in a few weeks, as you mentioned, because you've had so many games suspended, do you expect any rustiness? Do you expect them to be well rested for it to work in your favour? How do you think? What's the noise coming out of the football club? Does it seem like a positive atmosphere after the recent losses, or is there a little bit of a lull at the moment?
I think the atmosphere should be positive. I can't speak for them, but yeah, the atmosphere should be positive. Some of the recent results have been a bit unfortunate, similar to some of yours, I guess. I don't know if you, like our last game, I think if that was the last game, we drew 1-1, and one was just a brilliant own goal. It's just a miscommunication, you know, but we dominated the game. The other team had one shot. I think we're in good spirits. We shouldn't really suffer from any rustiness, other than, I guess, that it's a bad time of year not to be having any football. It's going to be freezing. Well, it's quite late at night as well, isn't it? It's like 7:45 on a Sunday night. So we could be rusty, but I think as a squad, we've got a very, very close bunch of players who all get on and work for each other. So there's quite a good work ethic in there. There shouldn't be anything to sort of hold us back, I'd say.
Yeah, certainly from your perspective, you'll be hoping that you can hit the ground running in this game and kind of get things back flowing again with an important victory. Relating to the kind of earlier loss of firepower with Twine going back to Swindon, I've seen here that you've recently signed Owen Windsor on loan from West Brom. Might have more like-for-like replacement, let's say. Although, as you said, Twine is more of a midfielder, mostly playing in the hole in a sort of 3-4-1-2, and you expect Windsor to probably lead the line more so. With Twine sort of leaving, is that going to mean a tweak in formation? Are you going to have to completely rewire the way the team is set up? I've seen you generally favoured a three at the back this season, with a few exceptions. Is that something you expect to change, or is that something that you're going to have to kind of work around?
I think it might depend on you, to be honest. Do you predominantly play, last game I looked at, or one of the games I looked at, you played with three at the back? Do you always play three at the back, or?
Yeah, we do normally play, well, I think the vast majority of games we've played three at the back, and we tend to switch in game. He's not shy about changing things if he's not really happy with the way the game's going. And we do have multiple players who can play in lots of positions, or even if they can't, Potter will make them, essentially. He will find a way to change things to satisfy him and make the game go, at least in principle, the way that he wants it to. So in that sense, we're pretty fluid. It's normally a 3-5-2 of sorts. The forward two or three can be flexible because often we're playing Trossard or Aaron Connolly, who maybe aren't best suited to being out-and-out strikers, more inside forward, so that they might drift a bit wider. It's going to be an interesting one in terms of which younger... I suspect there'll be some younger players who come in. Malumbi's obviously gone on loan to Preston in recent days. So I assume there'll be a mix of some younger players coming in who haven't really had the opportunity to play so much, because I think some of the under-23s football is sort of up in the air due to the pandemic. So I'm not sure how that will affect them. Liam, what kind of team do you think we're going to put out? Do you think it's going to be mostly strong, obviously, with this Man City to bear in mind just a few days before, so that will be awkward?
Yes, it's a tricky one. As I mentioned, obviously, the case will be predominantly how do we sort of manage sort of the legs and the fitness, if you like. But obviously, they'll have had, I think, a week off, if not close to a week off. So, and there'll be, I think, is the City game in the week? I'm not entirely sure. But I think fundamentally, it won't change drastically from the sort of the Potter principles, and that, as you sort of mentioned, that we've got not necessarily a strongest 11, which is probably a blessing and quite a curse at times as well, in terms of how sort of rotation heavy Potter can be, and sort of the players that he picks, and sort of the slight formation tweaks and sort of the style tweaks. For instance, I know that you mentioned about sort of Leo Trossard and their Charlie, in terms of someone who has been quite interesting to see sort of his role as a creator to change and be tweaked ever so slightly. Someone who, you know, when he was signed from Genk, was maybe looked at as more of an out-and-out winger, but now we sort of looked at him more for a final ball. And I think that fundamentally we're going to have to be prepared for the conditions that we're going to have. Obviously, I remember us going to Lincoln. Was unfortunate enough to go there to Lincoln that day a few years back now, and be quite well humbled and deservedly felt like we lost the game in the end. So I think this isn't necessarily a case of what our best team might be like. It might be a case of, you know, what sort of team can operate in these conditions best. So we've seen him recently sort of try and deploy Bernardo further forward, utilise Dan Burn. So it might be that he goes for a more physical team. I'm sure that it'll be an interesting battle now, as obviously I was aware that Newport were quite direct last season. So then maybe being a bit more rounded and a bit more possession heavy, it might offer a bit more balance. Obviously, the particular threat for me now that I'm worried about in sort of this competition, and that I'd love to get Martin's thoughts on, I want to say his name correctly, so I apologise if anyone is Irish that's listening, but Padraig Armand. I've known, obviously, he's quite a veteran now when it comes to sort of the EFL. I'd seen him score sort of a few times in previous FA Cup runs. He's scored as many FA Cup goals as Didier Drogba and Harry Kane, which is quite a good sort of set of names to be amongst. 12 goals and 2 assists in 29 appearances, which is, you know, pretty immense. And 8 goals, 1 assist this season. His numbers look like quality forward. And sort of my question to sort of Martin would be, as a goal scorer or assister, sort of how is he most likely going to score against Brighton in terms of maybe the goals that he likes to score or the weaknesses that he could exploit? And sort of on top of that, what sort of service would he be looking for, and how might Brighton look to sort of stop him as a threat?
This is a tough one, really, because he hasn't played a lot this season. This is one of my biggest frustrations. He's our out-and-out goal scorer. I think he's played less than 1,000 minutes. He scored 5. This is in the league. He scored 5 goals. He's on like 1 in every 2, so like 0.90. And for the past few seasons, he's finished the season on sort of 1 in 3, which isn't a bad record. He's 32 now. Obviously, you're by no means over the hill, but he's got a good work rate. He puts a shift in. He can play in midfield. He can play between the lines. He can lead the line. he's when he's in the box, that's when obviously he's at his most dangerous. Set pieces, very good at set pieces. Those, some of those along the floor, but he likes it into his feet. Really, he's good at headering, but up against, you know, a 6 foot something central defender, he's not going to be that effective. So you want to get the ball to his feet. Doesn't even have to be back to goal. He's very, very clinical when he gets just a sight of goal. It doesn't really matter whether he's 6 yards or 18 yards out. He can hit the target very, very good with the ball at his feet. So I think in the air, you probably won't have really any problems. But on the floor, as long as he's got a sight of goal, just don't give him a sight of goal, that's all. But going back to the formation, I think because the way you guys sort of described how you may set up, we'll probably stay with the 3-4-1-2. I'd imagine Amand would be leading the line in that game. We'd only really switch to four at the back, so probably 4-2-3-1 if we weren't confident of having a centre back to fill Brandon Cooper's place.
Yeah, in fairness, I think that this game, yeah, as I mentioned, it's probably going to be one that we're going to be nervous for. If you start well, as you said, you'll look to do in previous cup shocks. You know, I hope the players have got kind of the mental resilience to cope with a fast start from Newport. I'm worried, to be honest with you. I don't know if this is me over worrying, but I fear for players mentally in terms of whether they can stand up to a challenge and the pressure of playing a team many leagues below. The last time we played Newport was a very disappointing loss, and we definitely won't be seeing scenes like this, unfortunately, because there will be no fans there. But I do remember when we lost 3-1. I think that might have been 2012 or 20. It was ages ago. It's one of the early the Amex. It would have been 2012 or 13 because Oscar Garcia was the manager. But the scenes from the Newport fans in the away end were absolutely mental, which was really, really, you know, quite nice to see. Despite my obvious frustration, just as a general question to probably wrap up, any score predictions? How do you feel confident going into the game, Martin, or do you think this will probably be a step too far for the players?
I'm always confident, but I think in reality, I think Brighton will probably win this game. I'm always confident that we can have an upset, but the reality is Brighton are a fantastic team. I think it could be a tight game. Like recently we played Newcastle, we took them to pens. I know there's a big difference between Brighton and Newcastle, but I'd say Brighton will probably edge this one over 90 minutes.
Very pleased to hear you say that Brighton and Newcastle are very different teams. Me and Liam have a little bit of a kind of running... it's not really a joke because... I suppose the reality is they are, you know, above us in the league and it is the way it is. But Newcastle's sort of attacking play, their creation, their XG is really
non-existent.
Yes, non-existent is the word, unfortunately. But Callum Wilson's a fantastic striker, so it is what it is. And we just have to look to improve. Thank you very much for your time. Any questions from you, Liam, to finish?
I don't think so. No, just obviously thank you very much for coming on, and hopefully obviously that the listeners appreciated some insight that we obviously are unable to offer. And hopefully, I mean, it seems pretty well set for quite an exciting game. You know, arguably Newport are a side that have had more relative success. I think people need to realise that for a side that come in at the first round to then go and reach the fourth and fifth round is, you know, numerous back-to-back wins. So fundamentally, I think this is probably one of the bigger challenges we might face this season, which might seem weird to people in terms of how we're going to want to play versus what the conditions are going to offer us. So I'm really looking forward to the game and hopefully it'll be a good cup tie. And sort of one final question that I've got, actually, only because it was in my mind from doing some research earlier on, is that Brighton are quite a good side when it comes to penalties. Obviously, as far as I'm aware, I could be wrong. I'm not a replay sort of thing. I'm not sure if that's the League Cup where they've ditched them. But should it at some point ever come to a penalty shootout, What's a Newport like when it comes to pens?
We haven't got a bad record when it comes to pens, actually. We're not too bad. The goalkeeper's good. Nick, depends who goes in goal, but Nick Townsend's pretty good. Penalties, saving them. If it goes to pens, we're not too bad. There's one or two who regularly miss.
Okay.
But other than that, I think we got five or six very good penalty takers.
It would be interesting to see who steps up for the Albion. Obviously, it depends who will be on the pitch, for one thing. But I think when we played Millwall a few seasons back in the FA Cup, I think it was relatively expected who stepped up. I think Dunk, maybe a little bit of a surprise, but you know, we know he can strike a ball. He's very technically gifted.
Dispatched a pen.
Yeah, score. So no problems there. So it'll be interesting at least to see who steps up. In my mind, McAllister will crack one in the top corner and Bissouma will do a very, very, very long, slow run-up and absolutely welly the ball, either miles over the crossbar or just under it. You just don't know.
There's no in-between, is there? He's set up for probably what's his annual FA Cup goal.
But yeah, that's true. So yeah, lump on Bissouma to score if you're that way inclined, because it's a short... with that in mind, thank you very much, Martin, for joining us. It's been really interesting talking to you, and best of luck for the rest of the season. You're in a really strong position going into the January transfer window. So if you can maybe do some exciting things and bring in a few more players to replace the ones you've lost, I know that's irritating, but I don't see any reason why promotion won't be on the cards. So very much good luck to you and Newport.
And to yourselves, it's been a pleasure, gents. Fingers crossed. You get the luck you deserve in front of goal, just not on Sunday.
Yeah, it's not likely to change anytime soon. So I think
cashing our XG with like a 9-0 win off 10 shots.
Yeah, that's not what we want to do. Come on, save them for the league. Save them for the league. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we will see you in the next episode.